Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Chapter 9, Text 26, a well-known verse. Patram pushpam palam toyam yo me bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhaktyupahritam ashnami prayatatmanaha. Lord Krishna says to Arjuna, if one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, a fruit, or water, I will accept it. Purport. For the intelligent person, it is essential to be in Krishna consciousness, engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, in order to achieve a permanent blissful abode for eternal happiness. The process of achieving such a marvelous result is very easy and can be attempted even by the poorest of the poor without any kind of qualification. The only qualification required in this connection is to be a pure devotee of the Lord. It does not matter what one is or where one is situated. The process is so easy that even a leaf or a little water or fruit can be offered to the Supreme Lord in genuine love, and the Lord will be pleased to accept it. No one, therefore, can be barred from Krishna consciousness because it is so easy and universal. Who is such a fool that he does not want to be Krishna conscious by this simple method and thus attain the highest perfectional life of eternity, bliss, and knowledge? Krishna wants only loving service and nothing more. Krishna accepts even a little flower from his pure devotee. He does not want any kind of offering from a non-devotee. He is not in need of anything from anyone because he is self-sufficient, and yet he accepts the offering of his devotee in an exchange of love and affection. To develop Krishna consciousness is the highest perfection of life. Bhakti is mentioned twice in this verse in order to declare more emphatically that bhakti or devotional service is the only means to approach Krishna. No other condition, such as becoming a brahmana, a learned scholar, a very rich man, or a great philosopher, can induce Krishna to accept some offering. Without the basic principle of bhakti, nothing can induce the Lord to agree to accept anything from anyone. Bhakti is never causal. The process is eternal. It is direct action in service to the absolute whole. Here, Lord Krishna, having established that he is the only enjoyer, the primeval Lord and the real object of all sacrificial offerings, reveals what type of sacrifices he desires to be offered. If one wishes to engage in devotional service to the Supreme in order to be purified and to reach the goal of life, the transcendental loving service of God, then one should find out what the Lord desires of him. One who loves Krishna will give him whatever he wants, and he avoids offering anything which is undesirable or unasked. Thus, meat, fish, and eggs should not be offered to Krishna. If he desired such things as offerings, he would have said so. Instead, he clearly requests that a leaf, fruit, flowers, and water be given to him, and he says of this offering, I will accept it. Therefore, we should understand that he will not accept meat, fish, and eggs. Vegetables, grains, fruits, milk, and water are the proper foods for human beings and are prescribed by Lord Krishna himself. Whatever else we eat cannot be offered to him, since he will not accept it. Thus, we cannot be acting on the level of loving devotion if we offer such foods. In the third chapter, verse 13, Sri Krishna explains that only the remains of sacrifice are purified and fit for consumption by those who are seeking advancement in life and release from the clutches of the material entanglement. Those who do not make an offering of their food, he says in the same verse, are eating only sin. In other words, their every mouthful is simply deepening their involvement in the complexities of material nature, but preparing nice, simple vegetable dishes, offering them before the picture or deity of Lord Krishna, and bowing down and praying for him to accept such a humble offering, enable one to advance steadily in life, to purify the body, and to create fine brain tissues, which will lead to clear thinking. Above all, the offering should be made with an attitude of love. Krishna has no need of food, since he already possesses everything that be, yet he will accept the offering of one who desires to please him in that way. The important element in preparation, in serving, and in offering is to act with love for Krishna. The impersonalist philosophers who wish to maintain that the absolute truth is without senses cannot comprehend this verse of Bhagavad Gita. To them it is either a metaphor or proof of the mundane character of Krishna, the speaker of the Bhagavad Gita. But in actuality, Krishna, the Supreme Godhead, has senses, and it is stated that his senses are interchangeable. In other words, one sense can perform the function of any other. This is what it means to say that Krishna is absolute. Lacking senses, he could hardly be considered full in all opulences. In the 7th chapter, Krishna has explained that he impregnates the living entities into material nature. This is done by his looking upon material nature. And so in this instance, Krishna's hearing the devotee's words of love in offering foodstuffs is wholly identical with his eating and actually tasting. This point should be emphasized. Because of his absolute position, his hearing is wholly identical with his eating and tasting. Only the devotee who accepts Krishna as he describes himself without interpretation can understand the Supreme Absolute Truth and eat food and enjoy it. Om Agyanatimi Randhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shrishtam Manum Api Shachiputra Matra Swarupam Rupam tasyagrajam urupurim maturim goshtavartim Radha kundam girivaramaho radhika madhavasham Prapto yasya pratita kripaya shri gurum tamnatas Vandeham shri guru shri yatav pada kamalam Shri gurun vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Although the word prasad is not mentioned in this verse, the whole gist of the explanation of the verse and the explanation is prasad. Prasad means mercy, and prasad is generally used in the sense of food that is offered to Krishna and that he gives us to take. It's his mercy in the form of food. We give ourselves to Krishna. We offer our love to Krishna, offer him food, thinking that Krishna will like to eat this nice food. And then he very mercifully gives us the remnants of his food. And we take that and we become very happy. Practically, the beginning of any religious process or system, or a very basic factor in any religion, beginning from animism, in a structured analysis of religion, generally animism is considered very low level to spirit worship, but a basic tenet of any religion is to realize there is a higher power that we are dependent on for our well-being, and well-being is generally a basic factor of our welfare is food. Recognizing that God or the gods, they give us food. Famously in Christianity, Lord Jesus Christ taught to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," praying to God. God the Father, give us this day our daily bread. In the Christian system also, there's system before eating, whatever it may be, roast beef or whatever it is, you offer your prayers to God, thanking him. It's called grace. Grace means mercy. I don't remember the prayers. I must have said hundreds and hundreds of times in my childhood, but I can't remember a single one. I'm so lost contact with that. But the idea is that we acknowledge that it's God's gift. Now, in Vedic culture, you know, Vaishnavism and other branches of Vedic culture, it goes further than that, because we talk about Krishna Prasad, but then others also, they have the idea of demigods prasadam also. But the idea goes further, that we offer and then we take it back, and that's blessed by him, or specifically in the Vaishnav culture, he becomes that food. It's non-different from him. And now I'm saying in Vedic culture we have Kali Prasad. Meat is often, not beef, but meat is often thought of as Kali Prasad or different demigods Prasad. But especially in Vaishnavism, the Prasad is a big thing, and we have the special items of Prasad in different holy places connected with Krishna, with Vishnu, and people who go to these places, they bring it back with them. Here in South India, practically daily someone brings me, not recently because I'm a bit cut off at the present time, but Tirupati, Ladu Prasad, and then we have in Nathdwa, Srinathji's huge ladus and huge sweets. In South India also, Sri Rangam is famous, various varieties, the Adi Rasam of Nathdwara. Puri is famous for prasad. The varieties you can get in a little basket, and that khaja is very famous. Gradually, ISKCON Mayapur is becoming famous for prasad, and probably all over the world, our temples are becoming famous from prasad. In Radharaman temple in Vrindavan, the little cups of kheer chor Gopinath, you can get the kheer from there. Very delicious. So these, especially in Vaishnavism, it is essential aspect of the whole culture, just central to the culture. You have to eat, and everything we should do should be in relation to Krishna. But it's so nice that in Krishna consciousness, that even in eating, it's not just something to maintain the body. We have in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna advises for the yogi, natashnatastu yogosti nachaikanta manashnataha, that not eating too much, not eating too little. But for the devotee, it's a different approach altogether, because the devotee, it's not just a bodily function. Even from growing the vegetables, looking after the cows, milking the cows, because after all, eating, we eat, but there's a whole chain of endeavors behind growing the food. We can also grow in our own gardens, in our farms, and like that, keeping the cows, looking after the cows, milking the cows, making ghee, all these different things. So this is recognized in Gita. Anad bhavanti bhutani. The beginning stage of religion is to realize we need food to live, and we are dependent on the demigods for rain, so the rain will fall. We have to propitiate them by sacrifices. So it's life. that's the beginning of conscious awareness, annamai, to realize that we're dependent on food, anna brahma. Food is one aspect of the spiritual, if we see it like that. So in Vaishnavism, everything we do, from planting the seeds, even before this, that there's collecting the seeds, and before that there's growing the vegetables or grains and keeping them for seed. So it's an ongoing cycle. And everything, and then collecting the grains, harvesting, storing, aging, threshing, cleaning, cooking, and in everything we remember, doing it all for Krishna. So in this way, food is such an essential part of one's whole life. We live on food. Some yogis live on air only, very rare. They don't get Krishna prasad in the form of food. Better to take Krishna prasad. And in this way, everything. And then while we're cooking, we're thinking, I'm offering everything. While we're gathering the grains, we're thinking we're doing it for Krishna. Everything. Cooking, specifically thinking, I'm doing this for Krishna, for the pleasure of Krishna. And then when we're serving it, serving for the pleasure of the Vaishnavas, we're thinking of other, not just I will eat, or my family will eat. For the benefit of others, they will also take prasad. Thinking of Krishna while eating, it's a whole meditation. It's not the only way we think of Krishna, but it's a central part of our life. In yoga, they recommend control the senses, minimize food. But the best yoga is a form of yoga. We can take Krishna's prasad, eat, not excessively, but just as required. And as Srila Prabhupada writes here at the end of the purport, we can enjoy the food also. The impersonalists, they're not allowed to enjoy anything, because they have the idea that enjoying anything binds you in material existence. So eating for them becomes very dangerous. And if they start to enjoy the food, they're in trouble. But for us, we enjoy thinking, ah, Krishna has tasted so nicely. Now he's given us this food. So nice of Krishna to give us. So it's Krishna's mercy that without going through a very dry process, almost literally dry, you want to eat some dry rasahina foods which don't have any real flavor. Instead of this dry process, Krishna gives us nice prasad, and this helps us to control the senses. Otherwise, very difficult to control the senses. You try eating very little and then very unpalatable food, get into microbiotics or something, and then you just, I can't do it anymore. And then you just splurge and eat a whole bunch of stuff because the desire is there. Rasa varjing, you give up the good taste. Rasopyasya, but in the heart, the taste remains. So better to come to a better level of taking Krishna prasad. Otherwise, the senses are very dangerous. Sharira vidyajal direndra etahe kal. The senses are like like death for us. They throw, the senses throw us into the ocean of sense enjoyment, and that causes us to repeatedly suffer. Sense enjoyment means we have to, first we enjoy the senses and then we suffer via the senses. Taramode jiva oti lobhamoi shadurmati. Among them all, which sense is very bad? The tongue. The tongue, yeah. It's very greedy, and it's almost as if it has another mind, which is very bad. Eat so many things. And then we pack the belly and get so many diseases from overeating. And then that stimulates us to enjoy the sexual urge, and it's bad news for anyone who's got enough intelligence to understand that I should try to get out of this mess called material life. Within this material existence, it's very difficult to conquer the senses, especially the tongue. Krishna Bharadoima, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What can we do? Krishna is very, very merciful. And Karibare Jiba Joy, for the sake of conquering over this rapacious tongue, Karibare Jiba Joy, Just see, he's given us his own mercy in the form of food. And then, what do we do? Okay, now, so Shayanamrita Pava, take it. It's nectar from Krishna. Take this food, nectar from Krishna. Radha Krishna Gunaya. Glorifying Radha and Krishna. How merciful they are to give us this. Prema Dako Chaitanya Nitai. And in love, call out to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda. So Krishna is so merciful. But as Srila Prabhupada repeatedly emphasized in this purport, we have to do it with love. That's what Krishna says. Bhakti. Twice he mentions in this verse. It has to be with love, not just a routine that, okay, all right, cook, offer it to Krishna, ba 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 ba. And it's not just a routine. It has to be done with love. We have to remember we're doing this for Krishna. And remembering how Krishna, he likes to eat. He's not an insensate entity. He's a person. He's a happy person. His happiness is in sense enjoyment. Krishnendriya Priti Icha Dhare Premanam. To satisfy the desire to satisfy Krishna's senses is called love of Krishna. So Krishna's the biggest sense enjoyer. Jai Shri Krishna. Who do you worship? We worship a sense enjoyer. Yes. If we worship a sense enjoyer, we go to hell. But if we worship the biggest of all sense enjoyer, that's Krishna, then we're liberated. As Srila Prabhupada said once, if you want to criticize Krishna for being lusty, for marrying so many queens, we can accept Krishna is the supreme lusty. But that his sense enjoyment is not on the platform of us miserable creatures. But Krishna's sense enjoyment, it's all interacting with the love of his devotees. It's all an exchange of love with his devotees. The senses are the medium by which he exchanges love. It's not some, insensate or disembodied universal love without any locus or focus. Krishna is the focus. The devotee is the ashray of Krishna Prem. Krishna is the focus of the love, and the devotees are the locus of that love. And he also loves his devotees. So we find in the Krishna Leela and Gaura Leela descriptions of elaborate meals. And for Krishna, it's three times a day main meals. Three times a day. Well, at midday, it's a light repast of fruits, and there were so many, and sweets, and this and that, and morning and evening, big meals. In Vrindavan, Krishna Balaram temple, Srila Prabhupada was overseeing the management of that temple when it was just opened. He wanted to see it went very well. And there was a question, because the management, they didn't want to spend so much on making big offerings for the deities. And the cooks and the pujaris wanted big offerings, and the devotees in general wanted big offerings. Management didn't want, because financial crunch, pragmatism. So the question came, the question came from the devotees to Prabhupada. How should we feed Krishna? Srila Prabhupada said that you should feed Krishna, but Krishna like a healthy young boy. He's out there with the cows all day running around, and he's at sports with the gopis, and he burns up a lot of calories, transcendental calories. We have to feed Krishna so many things. But what we offer, even at Nathdwara, so many offerings, even at Puri, so many offerings, so much food. But you see what Krishna's eating, you find the descriptions. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's given a small summary in his Bhogarati song. Shukta Shakadi Bhaji Nalita Kushmanda Dali Dalna Dugta Tumbi Dodi Mochakam. So many items. But that's only a little sample. So many items Krishna eats. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also eats so many items, even after taking sannyas. He knows he's not supposed to. I'm a sannyasi, just don't feed me all these things. But the devotees, out of love, they force him to. And out of love, he's forced to take so many nice foods. So it's a big thing in the Vaishnav culture. Vaishnavism is a culture of joy. We say love, but it's not some dry love. It's very joyful love. Fabulous food, and served with, prepared and served with so much affection, and Krishna accepts it with so much affection, and he gives it back with so much affection. We feel the love of Krishna when Krishna gives that. Just once a year, especially, there's that Anukut festival, huge pie of heaps of prasadam. That's how Srila Prabhupada explained. Anakut. Kut means a hill. It's a huge amounts of prasad which are distributed. From the very beginning, Srila Prabhupada made prasadam a big thing in ISKCON. He understood from the beginning the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. Srila Prabhupada himself was very fond of cooking. He was an expert cook. Everything he cooked, I didn't taste it, but anyone who did, they would say, it's just something out of this world. It's just it's very, very special, Srila Prabhupada's cooking. We find in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a description that food that's offered to Jagannath and given back, prasadam, it's just the same ingredients you get anywhere, very common ingredients. How is it that it tastes so nice? What is it? There's something very special about it. It's mixed with the nectar of Krishna's saliva. Krishna has eaten it. So we find that with Srila Prabhupada's cooking. We've heard of that it was Krishna reciprocates with Srila Prabhupada's pure love to please Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada, in the beginning of the movement, from the very beginning, he introduced, feed everyone. That's Vaishnav culture. Everyone who comes, he'd personally cook. And he'd cook Indian-style food. He didn't think, well, people don't like Indian style, they'd have a different style. No, he gave what we call Indian-style food, rice, dal, chapatis, and then he had what we called what became known as ISKCON bullets, gulab jamuns, that anyone could take. It's a big jar he made, and eventually he taught the other devotees to some other devotee, beginning with Kirtanananda, who Srila Prabhupada jokingly called Kitchenananda, and he taught him how to cook. But in the beginning, Srila Prabhupada, he would do the cooking, he would do the serving. There was one boy, he'd serve him up to 20 chapatis at one sitting, and there are different kinds of chapatis you get in India, different styles, but Srila Prabhupada made quite robust what we were used to in ISKCON in the early days in the West. When I joined, it was all Indian style prasadam, midday especially. Now in the morning, some things gradually got introduced, but chapatis, big, quite, not just wafer thin. And Prabhupada would serve with ghee. That's something also Srila Prabhupada introduced to the Vaishnav culture he brought. A major part of that was ghee, cooking in ghee. Sriadish would take 20, and everyone would take plenty of prasad, and that brought people back, and it purified them. And it was a major reason why people wanted to join Srila Prabhupada. Philosophy is nice, devotees are nice, but it's worth joining just for the prasadam. And Srila Prabhupada noted that. He was jokingly saying, but you can say in a light-hearted mood. He was with his disciples in Miami, I think it was. He was saying, yes, all my disciples have joined because of prasad. They turned to Abhiram, who's a little stolid and grave person. You too, Abhiram? yes, he admitted. Everyone came because of prasadam. Philosophy, nice, yes, and everything good, but the prasadam is the clinching thing. I know myself, I first came to the temple and I spoke with the devotees and I thought, I want to join. But then when I got some prasadam, that really clinched it. Srila Prabhupada said that anyone who takes prasadam, this became a big thing, this was about 1975, it came around because Srila Prabhupada was traveling around the world and we didn't have this communication like we have in the present day. And then it came in some Sankirtan newsletter, we used to get that Srila Prabhupada had said, if an animal takes prasad, they will get a human body. And even if a human takes, they will get a human body. And if they get Mahaprasad, they'll go back to Godhead. And we can see the effect on the karmis. It's been a great thing for for making people in general favorable to our devotees is prasadam distribution. And the movement in the early days in the West, it wasn't well received in general. People didn't like it very much. But prasadam distribution made all the difference. In New York City, especially, they had a whole thing. They have what they call laglu. In Indian language, there's no such thing as laglu. It's bundi ladu. Somehow or other, it got called laglus. And they used to distribute them, quite big laglus, as they went out on doing Harinam Sankirtan. And that had an effect on people that they, by taking prasadam, their mind would change. It's not that they all became devotees or such things, but they became purified and they started to like the devotees. In Australia, the prasadam distribution, they're famous for the food, restaurants. It was a big thing. It was a big thing in ISKCON. We had in the The Brijbasi Spirit was a magazine produced from New Vrindavan in which there was a regular article in light-hearted spirit, but it was true also. His writing called The Confessions of a Prasadam Addict. And we used to have in Bhaktivedanta Mana, I remember in 1977, the team of prasadam thieves. At night, the prasadam was locked up. And the idea was that no one should eat that heavy prasad at night. It's not good for spiritual life. So it was, and it was all locked up. And in the morning, they'd find thievery had taken place, burglary had taken place. That was the prime suspect was Muktiananda, I think, in Muktananda. One time sitting on the evening offering came off, and then I remember Janananda, who's now Janananda Goswami, sitting on the stairs outside the temple room with the little group of devotees and say, "This is prasadam." It was just, this is prasadam. This is the appreciation. It's not just ordinary food. The same way Janananda Brahmachari at the time taught me when I was given to clean the pots, one of my first services, we'd have a huge pot of suji semolina cooked with milk for the morning breakfast, and I was supposed to take it out, and I was about to take it out, a huge pot like this. So why are you taking that out? You should clean it out. What are you cleaning? Then she showed me, and he scraped it out with his hand, and by the time he'd scraped it all out, there was quite a bowl full of it, just the little bit sticking to the edge. Don't waste any prasadam. We used to have a thing that when I joined in Bhaktivedanta Mana, later Berry Place, if you spill Krishna's milk prasad on the floor, you have to lick it up. Don't waste any prasadam. It's so special. Sunday feast. Oh, it wasn't just the feast, but it was the... It was a whole preaching engagement. Be prepared for days in advance, because all the preaching would culminate in that. That you invite people to the Sunday feast. And it's a whole experience with dramas and blissful kirtans, and you give prasadam, and then people are sitting there. You can tell if someone takes a lot of prasadam. You know they're a devotee. They're going to be a devotee. Some people, they just love prasadam so much, especially halava. It was suji halava made from semolina. And ghee was a major factor. Cooking in ghee, that it has such a flavor. So many people are vegetarians, not so many, but then they'd never imagined anything like ghee and food cooked in ghee. And it just, ghee, and then with Krishna's mercy, it just amazed them. And there's so many items. They never imagined things like puris or even simple things like what we call sweet rice, the rice cooked in milk. And devotees, a consciousness of prasadam. The kitchen is as good as the deity room. Only brahmanas can go in there. Okay, you can go in if you're first initiated for doing some services. Later they allowed even non-initiated to go, but you have to be fully clean before you go in there. Everything has to be kept completely clean. You have to have the best ingredients for Krishna, whose cooking should be in pure consciousness, initiated as a brahmana. It's an extension of the deity room. And cooking all the time, thinking everything is to please Krishna. And that was daily. But generally 6 days of the week, simple prasad, and then fantastic Sunday feast. Even the simple prasad was very nice. but then the Sunday fantastic feasts. I once asked the Tamil president at Berry Place, Vichitravira Prabhu, why did Prabhupada have these Sunday feasts? Because we just all overeat and we're not supposed to overeat. Everyone overeats and then we all just get completely smashed. You find after the Sunday feast, the brahmacharya is just all laid out, asleep. He replied immediately, because if we didn't have the Sunday feast, we'd all bloop. We'd all leave. Something that Srila Prabhupada also very much promoted was Govinda's restaurants. He gave the name Govinda's restaurants. So that householder devotees could run restaurants, and people could come and take prasad in just like they go to a restaurant, but it would be a prasad restaurant. And Prabhupada wanted that in the prasad restaurant, it should be written that what is prasadam. This is offered to Krishna, so they know that they're taking prasad. It's not just ordinary food. Manida Prabhu told me he was running the Govinda's restaurant in Stockholm for some years, and it was a big thing. In the beginning, when he took it over, the standard of clientele was pretty low. They'd get all bum types of people coming in, but he managed to clean that type out and tell people you can't come in unless you're clean, and you can't come here and just make a disturbance. He cleaned it up, and then eventually families started to come, which is a big thing if you consider that Hare Krishna is considered a cult, but then just ordinary, respectable people start to come with their families. And then prestigious people started to come. I believe he said even, what was it, the Prime Minister, MPs and all this used to come. In Melbourne, in Australia, the mayor of the city used to come when she wanted to take people out for lunch. She'd take them, and it's a big thing. It's George Harrison, you can see, he said that he was in an interview with Mukunda Prabhu, Mukunda Goswami, I think. Anyway, he said that, he liked to see these Govinda restaurants everywhere and put McDonald's out of business. Jai, that's what we should do. Put McDonald's out of business. Think big. George Harrison was, obviously he was thinking big. Big potential. Prasad distribution. We sing every day early in the morning, Chaturvidha Sri Bhagavat, Chaturvidha Sri Bhagavat Prasadas, Swadvana Triptan, Hari Bhakta Sangam, Kritvaiva Tripting, Bhajata Sadaiva, Vande Guru Sri Charanaravinda. The spiritual master takes pleasure in offering four kinds of food to Krishna and seeing the devotees take that. And then the next verse is Sri Radhika Madhavayor Apara Madhurya Lila Gunarupa Nam Nam Pratikshana Svadana Lolupas Vande Guru Sri Charanaravinda. This also talks about tasting, but it talks about how the spiritual master always strongly desires to taste, at every moment, desires to taste the mellows of service, of the mellows of relishing the name, forms, qualities, and pastimes, unlimited of Radhika and Madhava. I mean, you think, well, that's a big jump, isn't it, from prasadam to the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. It's not a big jump. It's on the same level. The pastimes of Radha Krishna, and a major aspect of that is prasadam distribution. Actually, Krishna also takes prasad. That description is there. That in his house, Nanda Maharaj's house, first, everything that's cooked is offered to Shalagram. And then it's to, so Krishna takes also Vishnu Prasadam. It's all on the same level. Prasadam is fully spiritual. Mahaprasade Govinde Nama Brahmane Vaishnave Swapa Punyavatam Rajan Vishvaso Naiva Jayate. The Mahaprasad of Govinda. And the name of Govinda, it's all spiritual. Nama Brahma, it's completely spiritual. The Vaishnavas, people who have got very little punya, very little transcendental piety, they don't believe this. The materialists, they don't believe it. Thus, well, we put it under a microscope and it's all the same. We didn't notice any difference. We didn't see any saliva from Krishna. You won't see it. You won't see it, you won't experience it, but take prasad anyway. And then if anyway you take it, you take prasad. You don't believe it or not believe it. If you believe, it's a lot better. If you don't believe, take it anyway. Then you'll come to believe. And then they'll find they're afraid to take it. You'll find sometimes people are afraid to take. They think that Satan's in it or something. Yes, that's what some people think. It's the non-devotees, they can't understand. You cook food, or you cook food. They don't even cook food. They just go and buy something or get something, stick it in a microwave or something. The idea of actually cooking food, preparing a meal, how many people do that nowadays? And here in India still, it goes on. They can't... Okay, you cooked it, or why do you want to bother? Why do you want to waste time and stick it in front and ring a bell and mutter some funny things? They can't understand it at all. They're unfortunate. We should make them fortunate. Give them prasadam, give them Prabhupada's books. Let them get Krishna's mercy. Let them hear the holy name. This is the program from... Go to the masses. Let them hear the holy name. Let them see the devotees. Let them laugh at the devotees dancing. Let them laugh. Let them laugh. When they see the devotees are going on. Anyway, they hear the holy names, and when they see devotees going on and on and on, then they'll think, well, maybe these devotees, there's something serious. But anyway, it's not that everyone laughs. Laugh, not laugh, whatever. We should be out there chanting the holy names. People might say, well, there's all these lockdowns and corona fears and we can't have Sunday feasts. Sunday feasts are going on in some places, at least. In some places in America, they have Sunday feasts are going on. In some places in Europe, in India, it's opening up again. So, yeah, let's do it. Preach widely. Be out there in the public. This will change people by taking prasadam, by hearing the holy names, by getting Prabhupada's books, by seeing the blissful devotees. It will change people. Prasad, secret weapon. Krishna's mercy in the form of food. I've spoken on these things before. I'll speak on it again. It's well worth repeating. Let us remember what a simple, blissful, sweet process we have. And we are enjoined to share that with others also. Spread Krishna's mercy. Yeah, the non-devotees say, why do you bother with all this offering? But we say, well, we already went to so much effort, so why not just do a little more and offer it to Krishna? That's the minimal understanding. Why not just spend a few extra minutes and offer it to Krishna? And devotional understanding is that everything culminates. This is what everything culminates in offering it to Krishna. That's what we did it for. That's what we cooked it for in the first place. So yeah, let's spread the mercy around. Krishna Prasad. We're all dependent on Krishna's mercy. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kipasi. Patitanam pavadebhyo vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Dante Nidhaya Turnakang Padaya Nipatya Kritva Chaka Krishna. Hey Sadhava Sakhlaiva Vihaya Durad Goranga Chandra Charne Kurudana Rada Parivadatu Jano Yata Tata Vananu Mokaro Navayang Vichara Yamaha Hari Rasa Madhira Madati Mata Bhuvi Vilurtama Nartama Nirvishama.